This week on Plan Go Plan, I have an extraordinary guest. I have with me Victoria Peltier. She is a trailblazer in corporate leadership, a number one author, and a voice of resilience and empowerment. In her heart to heart, Victoria shares her incredible journey from overcoming adversity to breaking ceilings in the corporate world as a young executive, mother, and a proud member of the LGBT community. Her story is one of unstoppable ambition, radical candor, and the power of authentic whole human leadership. Victoria dives into the essence of whole human leadership, a philosophy that champions authenticity, vulnerability, and the unwavering belief in the potential of every individual to contribute meaningfully. She also sheds light on her own unique approach to goal setting, emphasizing the importance of resilience, clarity, and radical candor in fostering an environment where everyone can thrive. But what does it take to set audacious goals and pursue them without limit? Victoria is going to challenge us to think bigger, push boundaries, and redefine what's possible so that you all can strive for excellence in your personal and professional lives. Let's do this.
Do you want to feel less scattered and more focused, but the idea of goal setting sounds like adding more pressure to your already pressure-filled life? If so, welcome to the Plan Goal Plan podcast. I'm Danielle McGee. I'm a professor, mom, planner addict, and recovering overachiever. After years of hustle and grind, I was tired of trying harder. I was ready to try easier. At the intersection of research, practice, and play, I found a purposeful path to planning and goal setting that is fun, simple, and sustainable. If you're ready to try easier, if you're ready to make memories and do meaningful work, grab a pen. I will equip you with tools and practices to clarify purpose, reclaim time, and achieve goals, playfully and lightly. Let's get started.
I am so excited for today's guest. Today I have with me Victoria Peltier. And Victoria has over 20 years of experience as a corporate executive, board director. She's a number one author, a professional public speaker. She's been nicknamed, and I love this, turnaround queen and CEO whisperer by former colleagues and employees. And Victoria just really inspires and empowers her teams and clients to change mindset and to drive growth in business, leadership, and culture. And I feel so honored to have you on Plan Goal Plan today. So welcome.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yay. So, you know, I'm really interested in hearing a little bit of your story. You know, what inspired you to help women in leadership roles in particular?
Well, I've been very driven in business from like childhood, and from having overcome pretty significant adversity and trauma in my early years to having parents who were lower from a socioeconomic perspective. And my mom said to me, I think I was probably like 11. She said, Tori, you need to do better than us. And she meant my education and vocation. But I think I innately just wanted to be better than sort of my biology. I'm adopted. And so where I came from and even the circumstances. So that's my big part of my why that has driven me and propelled me, you know, forward fast. I became an executive at 24, stepped into a very big stretch role for me. And that was my first sort of experience where I was like, oh my God, I'm the only here, the only female, the youngest by a couple of decades. I was also a brand new mother at the time. And I'm a member of the LGBT community. I was married to a woman for 11 years. I'm now with my husband. But so I was like the only on a multitude of fronts, in large part because of that experience for me at 24. I turned 48 later this year. You know, so I've been doing it a long time. And I'm a big believer in helping people as we rise. And particularly, so I spend a lot of time focused on the advancement of women in business and into leadership roles if they want, and also other, you know, underrepresented groups such as LGBT, and also recognize the privilege I have as a white woman born in North America. So also, you know, African-Americans and new immigrants as well is a big focus for me.
That's awesome. I really appreciate the work that you're doing to make workplaces inclusive and a place where everyone can rise. I know that that's incredibly challenging, but such important work. So I really just want to acknowledge, appreciate the work that you're doing. I know that one of the things that you talk about is whole human leadership. And I was just wondering if you could share a little bit about, you know, what exactly is whole human leadership and maybe how is that different than other approaches to leadership?
Yeah, that's my phrase, whole human leadership. But you can think about it as many people talk about it as human-centric or heart-centric. And I stepped into this because one, I made some mistakes as an early leader, executive leader. One, my first leadership role was at 14 as the assistant manager of the shoe store I worked at. So even by 24, when I stepped into that executive role, I'd had a number of years of experience, but that experience of being being the only, and particularly being a young female at the boardroom table, I showed up in a very particular way that I thought I had to. I also think generationally, it was the expectation. And that was, I was not going to demonstrate significant emotion. I certainly wasn't going to show vulnerability because I didn't want anyone to question me and my seat at the table. And so I got a nickname as the Iron Maiden, I found a few years later. I am very good at, you know, managing business. The turnaround queen nickname comes from being able to transform distressed businesses and grow them. But I did it in a way that I wasn't proud of when I learned of that. And I needed to take the mask off and be much more my authentic self. And so I've really focused on the strategic intentionality around how I show up and how I lead. And it's now just innately who I am. So whole human leadership for me is not a single thing. It's many things, but very importantly, it is around authenticity in the relationships that we build, you know, coming at it, not just because we work together, but from a place of like actual desire to build relationships with people, to being vulnerable and showing emotions when and where appropriate, to being really focused on the development of the people that I'm supporting. It also me, I have a book coming out in a few months where, you know, shockingly titled Whole Human Leadership, but I talk about the unseen employee. And that's a little bit of like certainly DEI, but it's also getting to understand the whole human that shows up to work every day. Like I can't park all the like horrible life experiences I've had completely at the door. It's going to inform the way I walk in and maybe sometimes I react to things. So as a leader, recognizing that as well and creating a safe space for my employees. It doesn't mean that we're trading off strong performance. We actually achieve better performance because we're leading in a very different way from a place, again, of trust and care and compassion.
I love that. I work with so many high achieving women where I do think what happens is like you want to feel seen. You want to feel like you belong. You know that you have value, but you know, you want other people to see your value. And oftentimes what we do is we do put on this front in order to maybe perform in the way that other people expect us to. But then when we are able to step into our authentic selves and actually say, hey, the reason that I'm valuable is because I'm valuable and I have all these experiences that make me already worthy. And if you can just bring those things to the table, whether that's the workplace or whether that's leading in your home, right? It's wild how much more valuable your work is when you can bring your whole self there. And I can't wait to read your book. But, you know, the ways in which I think that whole human leadership is, in fact, equitable and inclusive and creates belonging because being able to create environments where people can show up as their whole selves in and of itself is, you know, is the DEI work, you know, that you're doing. So one of the things that, you know, I talk about a lot on my podcast is holistic and women-centered approach to goal setting. And I was just wondering if you could maybe talk about in your own leadership and your approach to leadership, you know, what kind of approach you take to goal setting and goal setting with teams too.
First of all, I sign a lot of my social media posts with two hashtags. One is unstoppable and the other is no excuses. And so it's very connected to goal setting. So the unstoppable for me, that's my sort of philosophy and like mantra and just the way I operate. When I set a goal or objective for myself, there is nothing that's going to prevent me from achieving it. Obstacles may come my way, challenge or adversity. No excuses is the second part of that. However, I give myself permission to feel emotion around it, but I have a choice in terms of how I'm going to move forward. And so when I'm setting goals or objectives for my team, I set a very high bar, certainly, you know, my teams will say that, but one I hold myself to as well. However, I'm very clear that you can manage my expectation. You know, I've long since before COVID said there's no schedules, there are just deliverables. And so I get very clear with my team when we're setting goals and objectives. I want stretch goals. You know, we're always pushed to deliver, you know, growth in our business, you know, to set those for them, have them understand what success looks like and how it is measured in this organization. And so getting exceptional clarity around that. And then I regularly meet, you know, with my team. I tell them like, we have set one-on-ones, but they can come to me at any point and we're going to review and have conversations around their challenges in achieving those. So there's no shock or surprise when we have the annual performance review meeting. That review meeting, most companies will do, you know, once per year, is just they're going to know exactly what rating I gave them and what their bonus is. But they're very clear on what performance is and how it's measured because we've been talking about it throughout the year.
Absolutely. I think, I don't know if it's Brené Brown who says, you know, clarity is kind, but I think about that a lot. And how do you really establish those clear expectations? Because it does make such a difference. And then I love that it sounds like your performance reviews are often, it sounds like it's also to help really, that it's supportive to help people reach the goals that you all have together. So it sounds pretty collaborative. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it is. It is. And another philosophy I've followed is one of radical candor, you know, to coin from Kim Scott's book. And I've never been shy from having those difficult conversations, but from a place of care and compassion. So when I'm having these conversations to help people achieve, I'm not shying away from some of the difficult conversations we might need to be having around poor performance or them coming up short, but trying to get to the root cause and understand and then support them and put them on a path for them to be successful.
Absolutely. It connects to, you know, your love of the word unstoppable. And I think about on your website, you talk a lot about resilience. Could you talk a little bit about how you see the relationship between resilience and leadership and goal achievement?
Well, there's constant change in life and even more so in business when you think about not just the fact that we're in more often hybrid environments now, thanks to COVID. So that's changed where we work, but how we work has changed dramatically with the advent of technology and particularly now AI. And so we need to be incredibly resilient because we have to adapt consistently because there's change that's coming. So, you know, when I look to hire people, I'm also looking for people that have propensity to learn and adapt and change. I think that's critically important, you know, for us to being successful. And it's also a mindset. And so we can't, I often tell people, control what you can control, but there's lots of variables we cannot control. And so then it becomes a choice in terms of how we're going to address the things that come our way, the challenge, the adversity, the change that we're going to need to adapt to. So I think it becomes critically important. Right mindset, framework to keep anchored on the goal or objective and figure out with intention what steps we're going to take to achieve those.
Absolutely. One thing that I keep thinking about that you might probably be juggling is this tension between how do you create a work that is full human centered, right? That is also focused on equity and inclusion, while at the same time saying you have agency, right? You have power here. You are resilient, and resiliency is a mindset and a practice, right? Do you find yourself, or can you think of maybe even a situation in which you're kind of navigating the tensions between those things?
Many instances. So the last 15 or so years of my career have been working for very large organizations, Fortune 100 companies. And what I see is that many of these companies talk about creating that kind of environment, yet many of the leaders don't walk the talk. And the incentive models drive, in some cases, the opposite behavior. And so this is where people come in and they're like, well, you say one thing, you've got this great mission statement and culture statement, yet I'm not seeing it here because, you know, I worked for, there's one organization and it was the CEO of the company and she didn't want anyone around her that weren't yes people, she didn't want people to challenge her. Oh, well, so do you have agency? Do you have power? If we can't challenge, we all come with different, you know, work experiences, lived experiences, and richness that we can bring to the table by having an open dialogue and debate. And so I see it frequently. And it's actually probably why my desire is to move into a smaller organization now, where I feel I can have much more control and impact over that kind of thing with a leadership team.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of my jobs is I'm a professor at a university. And I know that that is something that is a constant challenge, is like, how do we have these values, but universities have long, long histories and structures that sometimes don't align with the new values that we have. And so how do we make sure that our everyday actions align with the values that we claim that we have? And then how do you do that within these antiquated structures that used to serve universities, but like who university serves has shifted so much. So I can really, really relate with that struggle, you know, it's so tough individually sometimes to just go, well, what are my values and how do I make sure that every day I'm, you know, you get swept up in the busyness of things. How do I make sure that I'm actually living out my values? So then how do you do that on a really big organizational scale is even harder. So my last question for you is, if there's one thing about planning and goal setting that you would want my listeners to know, what would that be?
I find too many people, and women in particular, limiting themselves. And in many instances, it's because some of it's limiting belief themselves. They'll own that. But I also think there's other people who tell them that you cannot accomplish this because of this. And so I, like, you know, when I'm coaching, you know, people, tell them, like, you're the CEO of your career, of your brand, of your happiness, all of these things. So, like, you chart your course. So I want your listeners to know, like, to set those, like, big, hairy goals for themselves, and don't let anyone tell you how far and wide you may possibly go, because you can be your own version of whatever unstoppable is, you know, for you.
I love that. I recently read a statistic that women imagine less for their lives than by like 50% the men who have the same experiences and capabilities. And it's even less still for women of color. And so I just think about that all the time. So I love that. Like, yearn for big things. Know that you are capable. That makes me so happy. So if my listeners wanted to connect with you, how could they do that, Victoria?
One stop shop for that is my website, which is victoriapelletier.com, where they can learn all about speaking and books and things there. But also, if they would prefer to then link out and connect on other social platforms, all the links and connections are direct from there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I love your energy. Being around you makes me feel unstoppable. So this is such a joy.
Thanks for having me.
If this podcast has inspired you, guided you, or just made you laugh, the number one way that you can thank me is by leaving a written review for the show over on Apple Podcast. I'm seriously tickled every time that I hear from you all. So pop onto Instagram and follow Plan Go Plan and digital message me. I want to say hello. I want to geek out about all things planning and goal setting. Keep sensing the possibilities, y'all.